You're listening to The High Spot alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berga. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff, Roadblock has come and gone. We've been talking from a weekly basis now about the road to WrestleMania slowly approaching. Took a little side turn there. There's a special on the WWE Network, WWE Roadblock from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it was basically, in my mind, a glorified live event that they basically decided just to air. You know, we've had the specials from Madison Square Garden, which you could tell they put a little bit more thought into it. All the stars were there. The roster was split. So you had one show happening elsewhere, another show happening in Canada.
Yeah, they're in Atlantic City, actually.
In Atlantic City, Jersey. Oh, shame on me. I should have realized where it was from the Trump Plaza. No, I'm joking. Yeah, and looking at the card, to me, I thought this had the makings of really possibly making the storylines somewhat interconnect now, knowing that we're going to be less than probably 3 weeks from this happening. But I got to be honest with you, when I looked at it and the end result, because I tried to stay calm the entire time, say, all right, this all has to pay out sometime. Didn't turn out that way. And I was really disappointed for the mere fact that the main event, but we'll dive into that later. Let's go by the card the way it was. I mean, what were your reactions after Roadblock? What was the feeling after the event was over?
Like you said, the live event feel, which is all right because there were good quality matches. And like you said, we'll delve into the match, each one individually. But like I said, though, it was like a live event feel. So I get your point there. But my thing was, I was waiting for the payoff. And, you know, it didn't have to be Dean Ambrose winning the title because that would really added a major swerve. And there's so much to get into, though, Brian.
The swerve they desperately need, probably.
You're right, but there's so much else to get into because it goes from back to WrestleMania 29. We were talking about it before on the car ride here, and it's just a lot of stuff that leads up to this with Dean Ambrose. You know, he's the hot guy. So you were thinking there might be a swerve. Was I expecting it? No. Too many times the WWE has had to change their plans heading into Mania, so I think they wanted to get something set in stone. They really want to push Roman Reigns as their guy. You know, they've backed it up a year already because they wanted to do it at 31, and, you know, the fans would have none of it. But besides that, what I expected out of this event was, listen, we're going into Mania. We're going to build into something, and I was waiting for Roman Reigns. I was waiting for Hunter, to have pinned or defeated Dean Ambrose the way he did and back out and all of a sudden hear Roman Reigns' song, his theme music. And we got nothing. It just panned out. Triple H barely survived against Dean Ambrose. And to me, if you're not going to build WrestleMania like you were supposed to, I mean, there was no Shane McMahon, no Undertaker, no Roman Reigns. Just Triple H and Dean Ambrose. To me, I just find it funny. If you're not going to help promote WrestleMania, then why have it necessary to make a live event from Ontario, Toronto, Canada? It was just odd to me. The matches were fine. Good quality matches. Props to Natalya and Charlotte, who had a heck of a match. But to me, I still don't know why. There's no logic to this. Especially after the match. After the whole night, you're like, huh. You know?
Maybe that's the theme of all this. The mere fact that there is no such thing as logic. You and I countless times sit down and we look at it and like, okay, there's got to be a reason why they're doing this. It's going to pay off. They're trying to milk it for what it's worth. All that. And I thought maybe this was going to be, maybe no pun intended, not just a roadblock, but kind of a swerve of what was going to happen in WrestleMania, the main event. Again, it didn't happen. I wasn't disappointed. But again, towards the end, it was just like, that's it.
And that's why a lot of people ended up watching, because they thought, even though the chances were minimal, they still think, hey, there might be some kind of, you know, reason to watch it. There might be, it might put the title match, there might be something to it, a stipulation. Roman Reigns might come back. But the fact that they didn't capitalize on Roman Reigns coming back there and starting his battle or his comeback towards Triple H and getting an upper hand, I think they blew an opportunity. Is he still hurt? Maybe. Is he still recovering from surgery? Because he did have legit surgery.
Surgery, yes.
But still, would have been a golden opportunity last night to progress the main event.
What does it make you think, man, that the mere fact that they haven't brought in Roman Reigns to this point, which would have made perfect sense to do it, because we're getting close to WrestleMania. So what are they going to do? They're going to wait a week from now? They're going to wait 2 weeks to do it?
It's odd, man. It really is. It really is.
It feels like they're purposely keeping him off television for that particular reason, because they don't want the same reactions that they got last year when people were completely against the whole Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar main event, and they didn't want anything to do with it.
You know, you had last year, you had...
Is this the WWE protecting him?
Oh, it clearly is them protecting Roman Reigns too much. And that's only... The longer you do this, the more the boos are going to happen when he does show up. Whether it's in Pittsburgh or wherever the next draw is going to be, it only prolongs the inevitable that the fans are going to boo more. Now, listen, the fans in Canada, in Toronto last night, had a great card. It was a good card, thoroughly entertaining. So you never know what the response would have been for Roman Reigns had he showed up. So it might have been positive. You might have heard the cheers, especially if he throws in Triple H. And since Dean Ambrose got screwed, basically, with that loss because his foot was underneath the rope, you know, I think the fans would have enjoyed both of them, you know, beating on Triple H. But you didn't get that.
I don't know, man. Just listen to that crowded reaction for Triple H. Now, he's not a fan favorite by any stretch of imagination. Like, when he was beating up Roman Reigns, people were cheering him. He was giving the DX chop. Then, the following week, beats up Dean Ambrose. Not the same reaction. He got a pretty positive pop in Canada. Granted, they all hate him because he conspired the whole screw Brett situation. But, that being said, it just really feels, no matter what, they're paying more attention to this, and Roman Reigns is just kind of a third wheel that nobody really wants to have anything to do with. Now, granted, he's been kept off TV for a particular reason, but in this case, what are you waiting for, WWE? Creative has to... There has to be a logic for them, but right now, it makes no sense. I mean, let's look at the card in total. I mean...
Well, you understood that last year, Brock had minimal encounters because that's the way his contract was, right?
Yeah, and the difference is he's Brock Lesnar.
The year before, you had Daniel Bryan, and he was taken off for injury purposes for a little bit, but, you know, he was there, he's promoted. This year, to me, this is, in a long time, one of the least heavily promoted main events that I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of any other main event that I thought was probably that way. Because in terms of a championship, yeah, it probably is close to
the title,
it.
For the main title. Event, yeah. And last year, you know, there was bigger matches. I mean, I think Shane McMahon, Undertaker, you know, supersedes this main event. Like, last year, you could have thought Triple H and Sting would have been, you know, could have been better than the title match, but it didn't. But still, it could have. And... You know, it to me is it's just wow. It's just a very lackluster main event.
On a side thing here, tell me if you agree with me or not. I mean, you were just talking about how this has been one of the least promoted championship matches, or just match in general for a big event like WrestleMania. Look at the other situation, and everybody tends to think I always dwell on Chris Jericho. But look at this: we haven't heard anything from AJ Styles. Basically, Team Y2 AJ is no more. He turned his back on AJ, went the heel route, which we all wanted him to go. And now, for the most part, Jericho's been the only one on the microphone, burning a t-shirt, talking, doing interviews, and we've heard nothing from AJ Styles.
Yeah, but at least you've had Jericho promote it.
But
Jericho,
he's done a better job promoting it than somebody like Triple H or Vince McMahon.
Just like
and it just shows you, or Paul Heyman.
Just like Paul Heyman, when he had that interview last year when they were all snowed in and they did it in the studios... All right, that to me sold me on the main event. And I know you're fighting me on Roman Reigns. Hey, you know, he can't cut a promo. Hey, he's bad in the ring. But you know what? That promo sold me on that match. I was like, whoa, you know, there's Paul Heyman. Right now, I know they were leading into Roadblock, but the interaction has been between Dean Ambrose and Triple H. You're going to tell me in just 3 weeks, business is going to pick up between Roman Reigns and Triple H?
It only works if they use the so-called B-show and actually put more content on the B-show, which is SmackDown.
Yeah, and nobody's watching that right now.
Nobody's watching that right now. And you would think during WrestleMania season, you'd want to put your stars also on that show, which is on the USA Network, to, you know, create the storylines and extend them because they're running out of time. But the point I was trying to make with Jericho and AJ, look, the reason why they're not making AJ talk, because you can clearly see they're afraid of him talking, no trust in him. And but here's the thing. Here's the difference. He's being shackled. He's being protected. But the end result, it still benefits him, and he still can go out there and perform. The difference with Roman Reigns is they're protecting him, but they want him to be the face of the company once John Cena finally decides to hang him up. And the thing is, if you protect him this way, you're shackling him, and you're basically just giving the fans a chance to resent him.
You know, and the funny thing is, whatever happened to natural progression? Whatever happened to, like, listen, John Cena, look, is...
Say
is
whatever it, you want to say on, about John Cena, but you know what? The guy has worked hard, and at the end of the day, again, he goes out there
never
and performs.
We've never, ever questioned his work ethic, yeah. And the man has an amazing...
It's the gimmick.
The man has an amazing way of rehabbing. The man just regenerates muscle and tissues in an unbelievable extent with today's athletes, you know? So
he's the bionic man.
Yeah, I give him credit for that, you know? But again, you just shake your head. It's just puzzling to me.
It basically, they're shackling Roman Reigns to the point where it's not going to go good either way.
Oh, and I'm sorry. The natural progression that we're talking about, because all of a sudden I was just thinking about Cena. The natural progression is that.
Get lost in
Cena. Why don't
you
just let it flow? Let it flow. Take your time. Because if people know that you're cramming something down my throat and that I'm getting sick of this and you're force feeding me a guy like Roman Reigns. I am not. What's the first thing you're going to do? Reject it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people will say that's just being the smart aleck fans.
Let it progress.
They don't want to deal with it and always want to counteract what they're trying to do. You know, to kind of wrap sum this up here, the WWE talks about, you know, whether it be Triple H or Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon, about how, oh, we're trying to create new stars, but everybody rejects them because they're products of the company. No, we don't mind that, theoretically. I can't speak for everybody, but like what you said, you want a natural progression. You have to listen. The audience isn't always going to be right, but you have to listen to what's going on, because in the mere fact that Roman Reigns was hot commodity when he was in the Shield. But then when he was force-fed to be the guy in the stereotypical babyface type of role that he was put in, that's when we all started resenting him. Because that's on him.
And look, nobody's going to be 100% happy, okay? The people that watch this now have become way too nitpicky, okay? I don't like this. I don't like the way he came out. Oh, you could have done this. Look, no one's ever going to be 100% happy, but when we sense that we're getting something, you know, that we don't like and is being pushed upon us, what is the first, you know, reaction that we're going to have? We're going to reject it. We rejected. Look, if there would have been more of a voice, it would have started at 29 because everyone knew that CM Punk should have been in the main event. But there was not that much resentment because, okay, we're getting Taker and Punk, which is, you know, which is okay. And then after WrestleMania 30, when everyone knew it was Daniel Bryan's year and they weren't going to go with that and they were going with Batista and Orton, people resented that. They did not want to see that. And there you go. There's Daniel Bryan's moment at WrestleMania 30. 31, Roman Reigns was supposed to be the man. He was supposed to beat Brock Lesnar. Somehow, Roman Reigns was supposed to walk out as the champion. No, what happens? Change of plans. Brock resigns. Seth Rollins walks out. So, I mean, let it progress. Don't shove it down our throat. And I understand WWE's motives. They want to have a new franchise. They want to have a new guy. But you know what? Don't force it down our throats.
I begin to start questioning the WWE's motives here. You know, I'm getting frustrated too just even talking about it. The mere thing is, for me, pick something, go for it, and just do it already. Stop, you know, nitpicking. Let it happen. If it's going to fail, sink or swim, basically. The old days, let it sink or swim.
Brian, an amazing card, like Roadblock. It was good.
It was a good
card.
And
this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. We're spending our time talking about that, which is just more frustration that we deal with from the week-to-week basis. But something that, you know, I'm kind of resistant on, I don't know about you, is the WWE Tag Team titles are on the line, and the New Day, who seemed to be over,
nobody. And Brian was looking at me like I was resisting going over the card, but we're getting to the card right now.
No, I'm not resisting because I'm a little resistant for this move. I think the New Day is so good right now as a heel team that now they have no choice because they're so over and everybody likes them and everybody's saying their catchphrases. You can't help but now turn them face because they competed against the League of Nations. I have no idea who that team or that stable is with Sheamus and King Bear. I don't know what they're trying to do.
A lot of people like that stable. I'm not a huge fan of that stable.
I'm not a huge fan of it either. There's no identity to me. It's just a bunch of oversized men who just like to oil themselves up and, you know, like high school.
There's been a lot of groups like that, but no, this group to me, it had potential, but like a lot of things, they don't really pay attention to it. They don't really put the effort in, you know, identifying with these people so that we can, you know, see why they're upset. But no, they're just a goon faction by the authority. And
do you think it's a good move for the New Day to be moved over to a face now?
No.
For the mere fact that I've told you time and time again, I think the tag team division is so depleted right now.
No, they should be heel, but they do it because, hey, they sell t-shirts. You can buy the unicorn lighting thingamajig. And the funny thing is I clicked on to see how much it was, and those things are back ordered. Finally restocked on those unicorn thingamajiggers, and you know what? They sell money.
Well, they sell
and baby faces.
They know how to sell. They know how to get over the crowd, and believe it or not, those unicorn thingamajiggers, whatever you call them.
But do I want them to be? Do I want them to be face? No.
No. So, but they had a victory over Roadblock in a pretty entertaining match against Sheamus and Wade Barrett. Unfortunately, Wade Barrett has kind of simmered back and forth from the Bad News Barrett gimmick. Seems like he's not going to re-sign with the WWE. And Sheamus, well, what can you say?
Would you? I mean, he's frustrated.
No, I don't blame him. I'm just sad for the mere fact that when we saw him during the NXT before, when it was still a reality show, not just a brand, he seemed to have a lot of promise. He had great promo skills, had a good look about him, could go in the ring, and could work well with certain talent, and he just never gave him the buck. Even when he did the Bad News Bear gimmick, it got so over that they wanted to prevent him from being a face, and ended up taking away from him and made him become King Barrett. I think it would have been bad news. It would have been awesome.
It's like they prevent themselves, and I'm talking about creative, from going anywhere, going places. You bring back the King of the Ring, which to me and you will always be prestigious. We always think of Bret Hart, Owen Hart, you know, winning those amazing competitions and tournaments. Sometimes it was the same day, or, you know, you'd have the semifinals at the same time. Those are prestigious. But then what do you happen? You make a mockery of the tournament. You make a mockery of being King of the Ring. And there goes that idea. Then Wade Barrett, hey, you know what? When they lost to John Cena, that was the end of that. That was the end of those guys.
Definitely. And speaking of mockery.
I don't blame Wade Barrett.
I don't blame him either. And I'll be sad to see him go. But you like them staying in the WWE because really that's the main place to be right now. But he's not getting any opportunities, or whatever opportunities he's getting, they're being taken away from him.
The best thing he's done has been that.
Broken up with Alicia Fox.
Well,
I'm joking. I love Alicia Fox.
The best thing he's done so far that I can remember in the last couple months is that ride-along show he does on the network with Sheamus.
I didn't see it.
The most entertaining thing I've seen him do all, you know, in this year.
I got to check it out. I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, somebody that was mocking everybody, Chris Jericho, fought Jack Swagger. He was basically doing the whole, he even changed his tights, and these little things I noticed. It says Jericho on it now. It doesn't say the Y2J 2006. He's completely going away. He still has the bright-up jacket. Goes on, has a match with Jack Swagger. He goes and completely insults all of Canada, saying how he's ashamed to be Canadian. Still promoting and plugging more of the whole AJ Styles situation. But I don't know. I mean, I think their matches are good, but I think the reason why Jericho turned, I don't know if it's all his. I mean, he's trying to make the best out of it, but it doesn't really sound very genuine. It just sounds really, to me, sophomoric, because the fans are still chanting his name and cheering for him, even though he says, you know, for those of you who are cheering for me, go to hell. At the end of the day, when they face at WrestleMania, where it seems it's going to happen and get to a Jericho-AJ 4 match, it's still going to be AJ Y2J.
I have a question for you, Brian.
Sure.
On Raw, don't you think that AJ Styles, and this is what's funny, and they're protecting AJ, don't you think in order for Chris Jericho to have been really upset at AJ Styles should have lost or been counted out? That way Jericho could be like, oh, I thought you were this incredible AJ Styles, but the second I team up with you, you cost us a shot at the tag team titles.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that have been a little bit more believable? But, you know, yeah, I live Jericho. Like you were talking about his tights. He is so detailed.
Yes.
And he is all about
committed, too.
And he is all about getting AJ Styles over and doing what's right in this business, right?
And no offense to Fandango. If you can get Fandango over in that type of gimmick, there's no doubt you'll do it for AJ.
Yeah, he's jobbed for Fandango, right?
Yeah.
So he wants to do the honors to AJ Styles. He's busting his butt. Honestly, I like that SmackDown segment with the when he burned the shirt and he's standing in front of it in the flames.
I tried to find those shirts on WWE.com. They're not selling
white
them.
White to AJ?
Yeah.
Well, that was
short-lived. They just specifically made it for that short 2 weeks.
Imagine buying the shirts.
Oh, I would have been collector's item.
But again, though, I give credit to Y2J or Chris Jericho right now. He's doing a heck of a job. But the thing is, everyone loves Jericho because they know what he does for the business. They know that he's trying to push AJ Styles. But again, you love Chris Jericho. He's so likable that, you know, it's an act. He's not really, you know, it just everyone likes him.
We know it's an act, but he does it so well to the point where you can't do anything but respect him. In the same token, though, it's the lost art form you and I talk about. You have to commit to it. It has to make sense. There has to be some logic behind it, whether we agree with it or not. You know, that's up for questioning and debate. But, you know, one of the matches, Jeff, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, though, because we were kind of texting back and forth last night, but, you know, you had your priorities. I was doing my thing, too, working and trying to get other errands done. But, man, the match to me that stole the night and the crowd was so into it was the NXT Tag Team titles were on the line. Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, Enzo and Con Cassie. That match was unbelievable.
Vince.
Fans were chanting, "This is awesome," and it was awesome.
Vince, how do you like them now? Okay. And we'll get to, you know, why I'm targeting Vince McMahon. But look at that. That is what is going on in Orlando. Okay. That's what's going on at Full Sail every Wednesday night. Okay. That is entertaining. That had the people standing. That had the people chanting, "This is awesome." That had the people saying, "Hey, you know what? NXT is great." And to put that on the card, It was amazing.
And more than just that, this was a WWE live event, right? NXT wasn't promoted on it. So for people to believe that, oh, NXT is just something that happens at Full Sail University in Florida, and it's a small thing that can't draw money. I mean, look at Brooklyn. Look at all the NXT takeovers. Everywhere this place has tried to go, it's sold out. Individually by itself as the NXT brand, theoretically, quotation marks. This match was on a WWE live event, and this superseded everything we expected, and the fans were so into it, they knew who these guys were.
Yeah, you're telling me Enzo and Big Cass can't draw with Carmella? You don't think they're big money?
No, they're huge money.
Come on.
And not just Enzo and Colin, but Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson. They reminded me of the Brainbusters. This is why you and I used to love watching tag team wrestling in the 90s. It was that good. It told a story, and these are polar opposite teams, but they work so well together, as do all the tag teams.
That code breaker that they use is an amazing maneuver.
Oh, it's amazing.
That modified code breaker, it's sick. And again, this is another team. Hey, they're no nonsense. The Revival, which I was surprised that they changed their name, you know, to the Revival, but, you know, it is what it is. Again, just impressive, impressive matchup. And you know what? It tells a story.
And more than that, Jeff, this is what you and I always talk about, right? About young talent progressing up. Look what NXT's done for the women's division. When you have all these women like Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Emma, all these young, you know, Asuka, all these people are coming up eventually. They've changed the face of women's wrestling. It's back to women's wrestling, right? Although they still call it Divas. The WWE Tag Team Division, Jeff, has been so enamored needing something. And you know what? I hope and only pray that when they do get brought up to the main roster, they're used properly, because all these teams in NXT are amazing. They're all individually, listen, they're all separate, but that's tag team wrestling. That's what I love.
I don't say that I watch Raw for the full 3 hours, but do you remember a couple of weeks ago when the Dudley Boys came out and they were threatening about not using the tables and they were starting up a feud with Jimmy and Jey Uso? Did you see anything last Monday night?
No.
About that?
You haven't seen anything in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, you have the Usos, you have the Dudley Boys, you have the Lucha Dragons. You know, do something. I mean, at WrestleMania, there should be, you know, a TLC match with four teams. You have enough there. And they just don't push the tag teams. They don't.
Well, somebody and people that are getting a push. And you're saying something?
Oh, no. I'm saying this was the match of the night until, to me, in my opinion, the next match, Natalya and Charlotte. And all I got to say to you is, you know what? If you're going to make it a triple threat match, give Natalya her WrestleMania moment. Make it a fatal four-way. You know she's not going to, she's not going to win at Mania.
Yeah.
You know it's about the Divas Revolution, okay? And to me,
give her
WrestleMania moment, cuz I think she would just enhance that matchup even more.
Oh, listen, I'm not somebody who's always into like triple threat matches or fatal four-ways, cuz I always tend to like one-on-ones,
yeah.
You know,
agreed.
But in this situation, this is the exception to the rule. To have Natalya in there with Sasha and Becky and Charlotte, you can't lose. All of them know what they're doing. All of them trust each other, and they are all very talented. And yeah, you're right. You know, for the longest time, Natty's been the odd woman out.
Oh, it's Natty. She's the one that's the caregiver, the caretaker. She's going to have a great match. You know, just make Charlotte look good, you know? I mean, look at their match that they had in NXT for the women's title, for the women's championship. I mean, Natalya deserves her due. You know what I mean?
She does. She really does. In my opinion, she'll never, in the way things are going right now in terms of personality, I think, and I love Natty. I don't think it's ever going to happen. She's never going to.
That's unfortunate, dude.
And that's unfortunate. Really, but the same thing you said, give her a piece of the pie here. Get her involved. Don't have her just be opening matches or to bring other people up, which she can still do very well. I mean, if I was booking, Natty would be right in the thick of things. Maybe not as the champion, but she's going to enhance everybody. And not only that, but enhance herself too, to the legitimacy that she's proven she's had for a number of years.
I know, and I was reading here in the reviews, oh, she had a WrestleMania moment here. That sucks. If you're a fan of hers, that sucks. Her WrestleMania moment was in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 3 weeks before WrestleMania.
Now, you know, things, and I don't want to sidetrack here, but all the things, when people say stuff like that, Jeff, and when they say, oh, well, you know, you're not the main event because, you know, the whole CM Punk situation, you find The Undertaker, that's the main event. Yes, no, but the main event is you're fighting for the championship. You are the last match. That is the main event. To have your WrestleMania moment, it has to be at WrestleMania. It can't be in Ontario, Canada, and Toronto. No offense to them, but it's not WrestleMania. How can you have your WrestleMania moment if it's not during WrestleMania? Makes no sense people make that comment. It irks me a little bit, too.
But again, though, that match to me, Charlotte, again, she just keeps getting better and better. Ric Flair, to me, is not a detriment. For right now, early.
I never said he was.
I'm talking about everyone that's saying, oh, well, you know, she's not going to move anywhere until, you know, they break up her and Rick. You know what? He is making her right now enhancing Charlotte's character. And then they'll make the decision of splitting them apart. But everyone's saying, oh, you know, right now he's being a detriment. No, he's not. He's Ric Flair. He's given her the rub. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. He distracted Natalya, and she gets the victory.
Yeah, and the more important thing is it's not emphasized on Rick. Like, we're watching it. We're paying attention, and it's Charlotte with Ric Flair. It's not Ric Flair with his daughter Charlotte now. So I think that's the difference. That's why probably in the beginning when she was first starting her career, it was really smart. And that's something a lot of people don't tend to realize, too, with these girls and people at NXT or Performance Center. But Charlotte is very smart for the fact that she kind of wanted to separate herself from her father a little bit until she made a name for herself and then reunite with him. But again, at the end of the day, I think she'll be the most successful eventually when she splits off with him. When that will happen, after WrestleMania, maybe before SummerSlam, who knows? But I think that's happening. But for right now, it's working, man. And it's working, and why mess with something that's working?
And if you saw the backstage segment,
if you're
segment,
the WWE, that's a logical thing. If it's working, destroy it and do something else.
Throw a wrench into it, you know?
Exactly.
And you could tell in the backstage segment, Ric Flair was going to accept the match again for the title, like she did.
Exactly.
And then she's like, whoa. You know what? You got yourself, you know, so like you could see that she's starting to take, you know, presence. She's starting to own it.
Yeah, because with Becky, Rick accepted it for
exactly.
her.
But then she's like, whoa, because Rick was about to, you know, accept the match. But you were like, oh, she's owning it now.
Exactly.
She's telling him, hold on. So. Detriment in my ass. I'm sorry. I'm just, you
it's
know.
Fine, man. It's
it
fine.
Really,
let it go.
It's a nature boy, for God's sake.
Something I was disappointed with, I thought was just like a jab in the face, like a big, you know, screw you type of thing, is that we want to see Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt. So I guess they are saving this for a potential maybe SummerSlam or maybe a future event. So you had a handicap match with Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. What the reason was behind this and how this was legally done, I have no idea. But suppose there was a handicap match. It was going to be Bray now and Luke Harper against Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar just basically took Luke Harper to Suplex City all day. Bray did not get in the match one bit. And towards the end, Brock, man, this guy is even bigger than before. Jeez, he's getting ready for WrestleMania.
Totally misused again.
I feel sorry for Dean Ambrose.
Totally misused. Ever since after WrestleMania 31 last year,
dude,
totally
misused. We can go a whole hour talking about how many people are being misused.
You could have just Brock Lesnar stand there and Paul Heyman talk for 3 hours, sell that on the network, and you know what? He's a special event, and they have dropped the ball on Brock Lesnar. Because when he comes in there, you could just close the night out with him giving him 12 suplexes to Luke Harper, okay? And again, he just, ever since 31, They have no idea what to do with him. Not to, the injuries probably suck because there's nobody on that level to put him on. You would love to see him in Cesaro at it, but right now, no one deserves to even be in the same ring with Brock Lesnar right now. Nobody. He's I was too late for Andre the Giant to see him, but he is a show within a show, Brock Lesnar.
Definitely is. He is a specimen, and when you have the privilege of seeing him, you want to take advantage of it. Despite whatever he's doing, whether he's just walking to the ring or he's suplexing people 25 times, it is a sight to see, and you know, we all know it's not going to last forever, so we want to take advantage of it when we can. This is the difficulty when you have the man that defeated The Undertaker and you have the man who is this bulldozer. At the end of the day, who do you have to go up against him anymore? You don't have those type of guys anymore.
And a lot of people complained about him not being on TV and he was the champion. I had no problem with it.
No, I didn't either.
Because what you're doing now, not even promoting a WrestleMania event, which is 3 weeks away, a world title match, which is your title, which should close the show, and everyone more is talking about Shane McMahon and The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell, where the stake is probably Monday Night Raw. No one cares. No one cares about the title. So and now you're going to tell me, well, Brock has to be on TV all the time. No. No, just, it's a special event when the man walks in.
Just enhances it more when he's not there. Man. But again, they dropped the ball on that.
I think Roblox angered us more than anything. As good as the card was.
That's what it is. We're just reliving everything back and forth. Sami Zayn had a nice homecoming. It was nice to see him in the WWE event. But I'm still unsure, is he now part of the WWE main roster?
He is full time. He should probably finish up his commitment. Look at me sound like an NXT expert. You know, I got Jeff on NXT. No, he should be finishing up his commitments to NXT. I think at TakeOver Dallas, everyone knows that now. By now, he's going to take on Shinsuke Nakamura. I can't wait to see that, dude.
It's kind of bittersweet that we didn't see as much as we wanted to. Now, obviously, Sami Zayn was injured, but we didn't get enough to see, for example, we wanted to see Sami Zayn and Finn Balor. We want to see Sami Zayn against Hideo Itami, and now he's going to fight off, obviously, Shinsuke Nakamura at TakeOver for he's going to do the honors because he is that kind of guy.
You know what? He was going to get called up last year. And he had the unfortunate injury. It's bittersweet as an NXT fan because look at everyone that's coming up. You'd love to see him against Finn Balor, Austin Aries. But you know what? His time is to go to the WWE. It's what he wants to do.
It's either now or never for
him. It's either now or never. But again, you know, a lot of people in NXT see what happened to Tyler Breeze. And, you know, as the stuff that we're going to talk about Mr. McMahon a little later on, you know, you just hope the best for him.
And, you know, he defeated Stardust, which, man, you know, I understand.
Again, another guy that's...
I understand, Jeff, I get it, that Cody Rhodes wants to single himself out, yeah. Wants to be something different. And kudos to him for the commitment he does for the character.
And he's creative, but I just
can't take it anymore, man. I miss Cody Rhodes. I really do. He had the dashing gimmick, then he had the one where he was disfigured, then he was just Cody Rhodes with... Damian Sandow, another guy that's... Where has he been?
Well, unfortunately, I think his mother, grandmother...
No, I understand. There's a death in the family, and he's been off for a while and had, you know, had permission for time off. But during that, prior to that unfortunate incident with his family, he's been off TV for the longest time. They don't know what to do with him. It's just sad to see, man. I want Cody Rhodes to be back to not his old gimmick, but to be back to himself. I really think he can draw, but... I don't know. I just don't know anymore with Cody Rhodes. I feel bad that, I know he doesn't feel bad, but, you know, he's going to go up against Stephen Amell, who's the star.
You think
of Green
Arrow. Think it's going to happen?
They did something at Comic-Con. Well, it hasn't been promoted.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Why would you promote something for WrestleMania?
Because all the machine is behind Shane McMahon and Undertaker. That's what's going to sell. That's what's going to fill people.
It's so funny. That's the one thing they want to sell, and we don't see enough of Shane McMahon or The Undertaker. So, great job there, creative. But, yeah, I just feel bad for that and just want to see it turn somewhere around before Cody hangs it up. I want to see him back as Cody Rhodes.
But again, happy for Sami Zayn that he's on the full-time roster now with WWE. Hopefully he gets his match at WrestleMania against Kevin Owens or he'll be in a match. Maybe they'll do a multi-thing. Like we were talking with Scott Fishman before, they might do a whole multi-thing angle with a bunch of people for the Intercontinental title. We'll see. But again, as an NXT fan, I'm going to miss Sami Zayn and I cannot wait. That's probably going to be one of the highlights is Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. Yeah, be there, watch it. You listen, every match, Watch that one.
Well, it's bittersweet for me, not necessarily for Sammy, because again, the ultimate dream for everybody, I guess, is to go up to the main roster and be called legitimate WWE superstar. But for me, now the difficulty I have as a fan is the mere fact that when you do go up to the main roster, guys like Sami Zayn, is he going to get lost in the shuffle? Is he going to be an Adrian Neville? Is he going to be a Tyler Breeze? I mean, please, guys, use him right, especially Kevin Owens. Look, Kevin Owens is such a talent. I still think he's being misused. He's the Intercontinental Champion. No. So finally, I was like, we have some legitimacy for the Intercontinental Championship, but we're not using him. How long are we away from WrestleMania, and now we find out it's going to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? This could have been built up so much better. But let's go back to the main event real quick one more time. The outcome was obviously Triple H retained his title. We were disappointed that Roman Reigns didn't come out, didn't promote this any further and get exact a little bit of revenge on Triple H. But would it have been a big shock if Dean Ambrose did win it?
Well, then but then you wonder what happens to Triple H. Are they going to get a triple threat match? What happens to Brock Lesnar? A lot of stuff would have had to been changed, you know. And again, you're late in the promotion of WrestleMania, and
they're always known for doing things last minute.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
But look at this from this perspective that I was thinking. Right? How can it work? Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Triple H. Triple H loses to Dean. He's already given an automatic title rematch since he's the champion and he's the authority. He can do it if he wants to. But Roman Reigns successfully became the number one contender. Triple H to that match right there. And how does Brock Lesnar get involved? Because he's Brock Lesnar.
He's Brock freaking Lesnar.
That's how he gets involved.
I get your point, but I would much rather switch Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar, because I was like, well, wait a minute. If Brock and Bray aren't touching each other yet, well, that just sounds so freaking wrong. If Bray and Wyatt haven't stepped in the ring yet and they made Luke Harper the sacrificial lamb, okay, why? Okay, that teased me thinking, oh, something's going to happen with Dean Ambrose. He's probably going to win the title and make it a triple threat match, because Triple H doesn't want Dean Ambrose to win the title, doesn't want Roman Reigns. There you go. That's why Triple H belongs in the main event. Roman Reigns, he's been screwed. He's been beat up by Triple H. He's got a reason to beat him. You know what I mean? He wants to beat him down, you know. And Dean Ambrose, hey, he's been, whether you want to credit him or WWE for or creative for where he's at right now, he's the most over guy right now that they have. So you'd have a guy that his best friend is Roman Reigns, but he's got to get through him to defend the title at Mania. Okay, and then he's got Triple H that, hey, he doesn't want either man to become the champion. I think, to me, it would have been great to have a triple threat match. It would make sense, and that, because if you put Lesnar in there, you kind of really, with the depth they have in the roster, you kind of make it even more. You know, you need to stretch it out. So I think putting Dean Ambrose in there would have been okay. But what do you think of that, though? What do you think of that angle?
To me, that works too. But here's the thing. A lot of people, and if you agree with us or not, please hit us up on Twitter at HighSpotPodcast. He is Jeff Martin. I'm Brian Berga. But here's the thing. A lot of people would be like, well, how could you do this? How could you change the main event? They've been promoting this for how many weeks now? Well, guess what? They haven't really been promoting it that much.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not on Billboard saying it's going to be Triple H, Roman Reigns, and they've put money behind it. No, it can change because they have the ability to do it. And like you said, it hasn't been promoted, so you could change this all up, all around, and give that shock factor that we so desperately need at a time like this, because it is your Super Bowl. You need to shake it up to make sure that it's not as predictable as most people think it is. So I wouldn't be against any of those options, whether it be a fatal four-way or whether it be what Jeff recommended. It makes sense because at the end of the day, what does the WWE always like to think? They're always one step ahead of everybody else. This would have been a great job or a great time if Ambrose had won to kind of say, hey, we gotcha. You thought it was going to be this, but now we change it all, not because you guys wanted it, but because we chose to do it. But speaking of, you know, changing things up and obviously the WWE trying to pretend that they're smart and, you know, Vince McMahon having the final say and all the decisions are being made up to Mania, which they're trying to break the attendance record in, you know, in Jerry World AT&T Stadium. A report that came out for me that I had mentioned to you, and it's so funny, we haven't really talked about it until right now because we kind of like knew it, but we never really said anything to each other. The Wrestling Observer newsletter came out saying that Vince McMahon isn't really a big fan of NXT. They supposedly think that he feels that the product is really more of a touring product, and that most of the NXT roster aren't going to draw any money.
Hey, if that's true,
he doesn't see them as stars. Hey, are you kidding me?
If that's true, then he's lost touch with what the wrestling business is. If that's true, you don't know, because he said, because I do remember,
these are reports, yeah.
Because I do remember when they interviewed him last week when they were presenting WrestleMania 33, which will be in Orlando, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, we're already talking about having fun in the sun. And he said, to the extent that, you know, they've had to adapt, and NXT, he has respect for NXT, yada, yada, yada. He thinks Triple H is doing a heck of a job. What the Performance Center has expanded to, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Okay, that's fine. But you're telling me you go to San Jose when we went there last year, and you're telling me you can feel the energy, and they're just a touring company? Then if that's the case, and as a huge proponent of NXT that I am, I'm just going to say, then you've lost touch with the wrestling business, and you've lost touch with the fan and what they want. Because a big part of that you said, too, in that interview in Orlando when you talked to the Sentinel, I think, is that you need to adapt and that you need to know what the fans want. If that's the case, and you truly believe that NXT is not a moneymaker, then you need to get out of the business.
Unfortunately, no, that's ever going to happen, because he owns it. He will never walk away.
But then you need to admit that you've lost touch with what they want.
And,
you've done tons of things. Honestly, recently, you've done tons of things to show us, hey, that you're listening to. How much is it Triple H? I don't know. You know, getting the guys back in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. But if you don't think that NXT can draw money, or none of those guys down there can draw, well, then, you know, you're still stuck in the 80s, and you think guys like Hogan and Andre the Giant and those people are the only ones that can draw.
But it's sickening,
and that's it. And to me, like, it just for him to think that, it's honestly, then it just tells me then, you know, it's not going to change. It's not going to change until somebody else is running that thing.
Well, again, we didn't know that's what he thinks. I mean, we're only going by what
we
hear.
It angers me. I read it, and I was like, what the freaking G? Are you serious?
And it's contradictory. You know why? Because if he doesn't see these guys as drawing money or stars, and supposedly in his mind it's still developmental league, then what's the point of having them then? If these are going to be the future stars of the WWE and you don't think they're stars in general, or they have the potential of being a star, then what's the point of having them then?
That's fine. They'll just keep making.
But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I have a minor league system, and I don't believe in my minor league system. So what's the point of drafting in college? What's the point of drafting to improve your team? Because you know eventually your top stars are going to either retire or be traded.
Mentality of the independent people. Like you see Samoa Joe. I think he could draw. I think our fear.
There's no doubt in my mind, Jeff.
Finn Balor.
There's no doubt in my mind that if you were to clear this out and wipe this whole WrestleMania thing and just put NXT roster on there, there's no doubt in my mind they would break the all-time attendance record. Because you know what? NXT doesn't just draw to the, you know, the hardcore die-hard wrestling fans. They draw to the children, which is your main target audience. So if the main target audience yours is kids and PG, and they've run a PG show with Triple H under the gun, why couldn't it sell out? It sells out everywhere it goes. They didn't think it was going to sell at the Barclays Center. And you know what? That was the cornerstone of what made that SummerSlam weekend exciting, because NXT sold out. The crowd was in it.
It made me psyched for SummerSlam. I was like, wow, this is going to be the case.
It wasn't just 30-year-old guys and girls like us. No. You know, it was kids, little kids that were wearing Bayley shirts. They were wearing Charlotte. They were wearing Finn Balor. They knew who these people were. They knew who they are when they went to the live event in Ontario, when you saw the tag team, NXT tag team titles online. They know who these guys are. So for the mere fact, if that story is true, shame on you, Vince McMahon. You're right, Jeff. Then he's completely oblivious. Doesn't know. He's completely lost touch with whatever reality he's in. And the mere fact that, you know, if I'm Triple H and I find out about that he's publicly said that, or he mentioned that to somebody, I would be pissed off myself for the mere fact that I've done all this work and I've shown you it's successful, and you're just gonna put your thumb and, you know, raise your nose to it for the mere fact that you didn't create it. And here's the biggest thing, Jeff, right? This has always been what you and I have always talked about with guys like Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, and the list goes on and on. Vince McMahon, for some reason, although it's under the WWE brand, because he didn't create these stars himself, he doesn't believe in them. And that's the mere thing, because he didn't create, you could say maybe he created Triple H, and that's why, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin can make and stuff like that, because it was under his watch. But because he didn't create a guy like Finn Balor, who is Prince Devitt in Japan, or Samoa Joe, who's successful in TNA, or a Kenta, Hideo Itami, who's successful in Japan, one of the biggest stars in Japan. And now what's going to happen with Shinsuke Nakamura? You know he's going to do good in NXT, but again, he wasn't made by Vince McMahon.
And the Bullet Club. How about the Bullet Club?
And the Bullet Club that's coming here. You know, Vince, you have, and this is the one thing I hate the most. I'm sorry, Jeff, I'll let you say your piece. The main thing I hate the most is that we have to break from the fact. I get it. If you're not in the WWE, then you theoretically haven't made it. I've heard Chris Jericho say it.
If you're a rookie, if you haven't been in the WWE.
I hear everybody say it all the time. Okay, I get it. But you know, you have to somehow still accept the outside world from your own world. These people have been successful. They've gotten over. If you can get over in a bingo hall, you can get over in Japan, you can get over in England, in New Mexico, you can get over in the WWE. The fact is you don't give them opportunities. And the mere fact that you put them down for the mere fact they haven't done anything here, well, give them the opportunity, Vince, and they'll prove it to you that they can do it. But you don't want to give it to them because, like Jeff said, you're so pent up on what you think is a prototypical WWE superstar. So, you know, you're going to force feed the fans. And you know what? At the end of the day, this is pointless because the fans are still going to buy into the product. They're still going to buy the merchandise. They're still going to buy the t-shirts. But Jeff, guys like Jeff and I are going to be frustrated with the fact that we don't want guys like Finn Balor and Hideo Tommy and all these great talent in NXT to be brought up to the main roster because they're going to get lost in the shuffle and they're not going to be used properly.
I mean, look at them. A bunch of people were talking about Tyler Breeze. I'm like, whoa, this was going to happen? Of course, the main goal is to make it to WWE.
And
but
you
then like, wait, I'm having fun here, and you basically want the paycheck because you want to go up to the roster. I get it. But
you do a network special, and you end it with Tyler Breeze going to the main roster and building up so much, and then you do that to Tyler Breeze?
Ground.
With Breaking Ground? Can you believe that?
No, I can tell you, man. It's grass is not always greener on the other side. And of course the dream is, hey, I get to be in the WWE, and that's, you know, that's everybody's goal. But you know what? NXT to me, and it's not settling, but NXT to me, I'd rather be there than I'm going to get to show my talents. And again, if Vince McMahon, you truly feel this way, which I you know, I don't want to believe he fully does, because he's been there live in person, he's seen it. So for him to think that, really, to me, just shows that he's out of touch. But again, Roadblock was great. I think the only problem is it adds more controversy, adds more anger, because you didn't need to do this 3 weeks before WrestleMania. That Triple H, Dean Ambrose, they put it out there. They had an entertaining match, good spots. Again, I was entertained, but I still don't get what the motive was for Roadblock.
And I don't either. And what scares me now is
that's what
we'll
be left thinking as we head to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what scares me. That's we're going to be left thinking as the days progress and we get closer to WrestleMania, where hopefully Jeff and I will have a WrestleMania moment. Guys, we thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. Again, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. We want to hear your thoughts. A lot of things coming up in the near future that we constantly keep saying, but we'll keep you updated on guests on our Twitter account, coming up with a Facebook page, YouTube coming up pretty soon. So please stick around and keep listening to the High Spot Podcast. Jeff and I couldn't be prouder of the, I'd say we're kind of a fire lit under us where we want to keep doing this and make it better
and better
each time
every day.
We're here.
I think it gets better and better every day. And yeah, of course, you know, I want to hear from you. This was like our Roadblock review. We haven't had a chance to come and do one of these, like, you know, and talk about it like the next day or so. It's great. It's going to be really good. Very,
very, very good. Guys, you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast. My tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berga. We are literally almost a couple steps away from WrestleMania in Dallas, and you know, I'm already
barbecue already.
Gonna have some good eating in Dallas, Texas. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you again. Hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff Martin, take it easy.